Today is the 19th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and it is, as always, fantastic to be here together with you today for these moments that we have around the global campfire together. This is my favorite place to be, and so it is wonderful to be here with you. Because being here alone isn't my favorite place to be. Being here together is, as we take another step forward together. And our next step leads us back into the book of Isaiah, and at this point, we will reach chapter 33. That's the center of the book of Isaiah. So today we will reach, essentially, the halfway point. So let's dive in. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 12 through 33, verse 9. Therefore, the Holy One of Israel says, because you have rejected this message and have trusted in oppression and deceit and have depended on them, this iniquity of yours will be like a crumbling gap, a bulge in a high wall, whose collapse will come in an instant, suddenly. Its collapse will be like the shattering of a potter's jar, crushed to pieces, so that not even a fragment of pottery will be found among its shattered remains. No fragment large enough to take fire from a hearth or scoop water from a cistern. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, you will be delivered by returning and resting. Your strength will lie in quiet confidence. But you are not willing. You say, no, we will escape on horses. Therefore, you will escape, and we will ride on fast horses. But those who pursue you will be faster. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will flee until you remain like a solitary pole on a mountaintop or a banner on a hill. Therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. For people will live on Zion in Jerusalem. You will never weep again. He will show favor to you at the sound of your outcry. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. The Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression. But your teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Then you will defile your silver-plated idols and your gold-plated images. You will throw them away like menstrual cloths and call them filth. Then he will send rain for your seed that you have sown in the ground, and the food, the produce of the ground, will be rich and plentiful. On that day your cattle will graze in open pastures. The oxen and donkeys that work the ground will eat salted fodder scattered with winnowing shovel and fork. Streams flowing with water will be on every high mountain and every raised hill on the day of great slaughter when the towers fall. The moonlight will be as bright as the sunlight, and the sunlight will be seven times brighter, like the light of 7 days, on the day that the Lord bandages his people's injuries and heals the wounds he inflicted. Look, the name of the Lord is coming from far away, his anger burning and heavy with smoke. His lips are full of fury, and his tongue is like a consuming fire. His breath is like an overflowing torrent that rises to the neck. He comes to sift the nations in a sieve of destruction and to put a bridle on the jaws of the peoples to lead them astray. Your singing will be like that on the night of a holy festival, and your heart will rejoice like one who walks to the music of a flute, going up to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will make the splendor of his voice heard and reveal his arms striking in angry wrath and a flame of consuming fire. in driving rain, a torrent, and hailstones. Assyria will be shattered by the voice of the Lord. He will strike with a rod, and every stroke of the appointed staff that the Lord brings down on him will be to the sound of tambourines and lyres. He will fight against him with brandished weapons. Indeed, Topheth has been ready for the king for a long time. Its funeral pyre is deep and wide, with plenty of fire and wood. The breath of the Lord, like a torrent of burning sulfur, kindles it. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and who depend on horses. They trust in the abundance of chariots and in the large number of horsemen. They do not look to the Holy One of Israel, and they do not seek the Lord. But he also is wise and brings disaster. He does not go back on what he says. He will rise up against the house of the wicked and against the allies of evildoers. Egyptians are men, not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord raises his hand to strike, the helper will stumble, and the one who is helped will fall. Both will perish together. For this is what the Lord said to me. As a lion or young lion growls over its prey, when a band of shepherds is called out against it, and it is not terrified by their shouting or subdued by their noise, so the Lord of armies will come down to fight on Mount Zion and on its hill. Like hovering birds, so the Lord of armies will protect Jerusalem. By protecting it, he will rescue it. By passing over it, he will deliver it. Return to the one the Israelites have greatly rebelled against. For on that day, every one of you will reject the worthless idols of silver and gold that your own hands have sinfully made. Then Assyria will fall, but not by human sword. A sword will devour him, but not one made by man. He will flee from the sword. His young men will be put to forced labor. His rock will pass away because of fear, and his officers will be afraid because of the signal flag. This is the Lord's declaration, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Indeed, a king will reign righteously, and rulers will rule justly. Each will be like a shelter from the wind, a refuge from the rain, like flowing streams in a dry land, and the shade of a massive rock in an arid land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be closed, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The reckless mind will gain knowledge, and the stammering tongue will speak clearly and fluently. A fool will no longer be called a noble, nor a scoundrel said to be important. For a fool speaks foolishness, and his mind plots iniquity. He lives in a godless way and speaks falsely about the Lord. He leaves the hungry empty and deprives the thirsty of drink. The scoundrel's weapons are destructive. He hatches plots to destroy the needy with lies, even when the poor person says what is right. But a noble person plans noble things. He stands up for noble causes. Stand up, you complacent women. Listen to me. Pay attention to what I say, you overconfident daughters. In a little more than a year, you overconfident ones will shudder, for the grapes will fail and the harvest will not come. Shudder, you complacent ones. Tremble, you overconfident ones. Strip yourselves bare and put sackcloth around your waists. Beat your breasts in mourning for the delightful fields and the fruitful vines, for the ground of my people growing thorns and briars, indeed for every joyous house in the jubilant city. For the palace will be deserted, the busy city abandoned. The hill and the watchtower will become barren places forever. The joy of wild donkeys and a pasture for flocks, until the Spirit from on high is poured out on us. Then the desert will become an orchard, and the orchard will seem like a forest. Then justice will inhabit the wilderness, and righteousness will dwell in the orchard. The result of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. Then my people will dwell in a peaceful place, in safe and secure dwellings. But hail will level the forest, and the city will sink into the depths. You will be happy as you sow seed beside abundant water, and as you let oxen and donkeys range freely. Woe, you destroyer, never destroyed. You traitor, never betrayed. When you have finished destroying, you will be destroyed. When you have finished betraying, they will betray you. Lord, be gracious to us. We wait for you. Be our strength every morning and our salvation in time of trouble. The peoples flee at the thunderous noise. The nations scatter when you rise in your majesty. Your spoil will be gathered as locusts are gathered. People will swarm over it like an infestation of locusts. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He has filled Zion with justice and righteousness. There will be times of security for you, a storehouse of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure. Listen, their warriors cry loudly in the streets. The messengers of peace weep bitterly. The highways are deserted. Travel has ceased. An agreement has been broken. Cities despised and human life disregarded. The land mourns and withers. Lebanon is ashamed and wilted. Sharon is like a desert. Bashan and Carmel shake off their leaves. Galatians 5:1-12. For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For we eagerly await through the Spirit, by faith, the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. You were running well. Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? This persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough. I myself am persuaded in the Lord you will not accept any other view, but whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. Now, brothers and sisters, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. I wish those who are disturbing you might also let themselves be mutilated. Psalm 63. Praise God who satisfies. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. God, you are my God. I eagerly seek you. I thirst for you. My body faints for you in a land that is dry, desolate, and without water. So I gaze on you in the sanctuary to see your strength and your glory. My lips will glorify you because your faithful love is better than life. So I will bless you as long as I live. At your name I will lift up my hands. You satisfy me as with rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I think of you as I lie on my bed, I meditate on you during the night watches, because you are my helper. I will rejoice in the shadow of your wings. I follow close to you. Your right hand holds on to me. But those who intend to destroy my life will go into the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the power of the sword. They will become a meal for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by him will boast, for the mouths of liars will be shut. Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother when she is old. Okay, so we've talked about this before with Isaiah. It can feel difficult to follow because it's not just this one cohesive narrative story. So it seems like the book is jumping all over the place. That's because it's not a single narrative story. It's a collection of the utterances of God that Isaiah spoke. And they didn't all happen at the same time. They didn't all happen for the same reason. And they weren't all spoken to the same people. And so we can find frustration in trying to follow along with what's happening. If we step back, though, we see a prophetic arc. Like, we may see trouble and even doom forecast in the words of Isaiah. But as these prophetic messages go, there's an alternative. There's a way to turn toward hope. There's a way to move toward restoration. And at sometimes Isaiah's prophesying like, you're gonna actually, like, it's gone too far. So you will reap what you've sown because you've sown it and it's harvest time. You will have to go through a season of correction. Your enemies will be upon you. He set this up. On the other side of that, I will still be waiting for you. Like, I will never stop working toward your restoration. And we saw some of that. We saw some of that shift in what we were reading today as we reached the center of the book. And in truth, what Isaiah is saying in our reading today is not something that we can go, okay, that gives me some context for the ancient people. It's something we can take right now into our hearts and lives. So I quote from Isaiah, "You will be delivered by returning and resting. Your strength will lie in quiet confidence." Think about those words for a moment. Those may be the words that we have been searching to hear. They may be the counsel that is exactly right for this moment. Isaiah is saying, calm down, return to God, and find rest. And from that place of rest, you will rediscover strength. I'm taking that one on board. Like, I'm taking that one into my heart right now. Because Isaiah gives us the alternative. And I quote, "You say, no, we will escape on horses. Therefore, you will escape. And we will ride on fast horses. But those who pursue you will be faster." Okay, so we're sitting here at a crossroads. There is a path that would lead to quiet confidence and strength in the Almighty. And there is a path that would rely on our own strength, and we will run. That's what we will do. We will run, trying to outrun whatever is chasing us. But whatever is chasing us will be faster than we can be in our own strength. Oh, guys. Like, do we not already know this to be true? Just by the example of our own existence. But if we're convinced that we're stronger than God, and then we've got this, and that he's not really paying attention to the minute details and the nuances that we are, and so we have to do this ourselves, then Isaiah says where it goes, and I quote, 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will flee until you remain like a solitary pole on a mountaintop or a banner on a hill. Right? A single solitary waving flag, the only thing that's left. So in other words, there is a path that we can choose that will waste our life, deplete our energy, because what we will spend our lives doing is attempting to outrun whatever we believe is chasing us. Because we are unstable and are relying on things that will never be stable. And we can have all of that. All of that can be ours if that's what we want. God will wait on the other side of that for us to return to Him. But we are also given a path of making that choice now, returning to Him now. And so instead of running away from what is chasing us, we stop and run to God and collapse there and find rest. And Isaiah gives us a picture of what that could look like. And I quote, "Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Then you will defile your silver-plated idols and your gold-plated images. You will throw them away like menstrual cloths and call them filth." So what is Isaiah telling us? Direction is available. Clarity is here. It's all right here. If we'll calm down, return to God, and rediscover where our source of strength comes from. And if we will live from that place, under the shadow of His wings, as it were, we will see what is false and what we've been trusting in. We will see the imposters. We will see what we've been trying to outrun. We will look at these things. And it's delicate, right? Because the Bible is so graphic here in what it's trying to tell us, that we will, like, how our vision will change. It will change so much when we find this place of quiet confidence of rest under the shadow of the Almighty, that we will look at the former ways that we were trying to navigate in our own strength and consider them to be used menstrual sanitary objects, right? I mean, that's graphic. That's delicate. And it's probably that way for a reason, right? Because nobody collects that kind of stuff and saves it, right? That's thrown away. That's disposed of. And maybe that's how we begin to look at how we have navigated our lives in an attempt to be our own master. We see this story repeated over and over in the lives of the children of Israel in ancient times. We see the back and forth over and over and over. And we can think they're dumb, or we can look at our lives and go, this is our story over and over and over. And maybe it's not really going anywhere. Maybe God is God. Maybe God is all-powerful. Maybe He actually does know our name. Maybe He actually does know how many hairs are on our heads. And that's an ever-changing thing for me, and I'm sure He has to use subtraction on a daily basis for that. But maybe He really does know. Maybe He cares enough to know that. Maybe He loves you enough to know how many hairs are on your head. Who else loves you like that? What are we doing here, friends? Let's return to God and find rest for our souls and rediscover that we have a strength. It's just not our own. It's the strength of the Almighty. all things are possible. Father, we let go of all of it. This garbage that we are carrying around trying to sort out and process, and like, we can't. You can. And so we're running to you. We're running to you. And we are not running to you so you will pat us on the butt and tell us we will make it and it will be okay so that we can go back and desert you again back into our own strength. We are running to you saying, enough is enough. I'm not living this way anymore. You are my God. I will serve you. Lead me where I should go. I'm trusting in that. It's the only safe thing to do in this world. You are the only truly trustworthy person, being on this planet, and I trust in you. Come, Holy Spirit, make this true. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Hey, fam. This is Nancy. I'm calling from Alberta, and I'm asking for prayer from all you mighty prayer warriors for a good friend, Jason, who was in a motocross accident on Sunday evening. And his brain is swelling incredibly bad, and they had to remove part of his skull to relieve some of that pressure, and it's just not going down. He has broken both legs, and the main concern, the biggest concern right now, is this brain swelling. He's just an 18-year-old kid who goes to our church and been a friend of our families for a while now. Appreciate the prayers, and please keep him and his family in your prayers. The sister was supposed to be getting married in 2 weeks, and not sure what's happening with that right now because they're over in the hospital in Calgary, here in Alberta. So keep Jason Slingerland in your prayers, as well as his parents, Dave and Kalinda, and the whole family. Thank you so much. Love you guys.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. I have emergency request. My husband is a police officer here in Texas, and we just found out that one of our friends' granddaughters or grandsons, who's 1 year old, had an accident where he somehow got outside into the pool, and they found him essentially face down in the pool. He has been resuscitated. He has a heart rate. He's breathing, but I don't know how long he was down for, and we don't know much else than that. So can you guys please pray and just lift this little boy up and just ask the Lord to just heal him and give him life to the fullest with no deficits, according to his mercy and his love. Thank you so much, family. It's Susana from Texas. Love you. Bye.
Hi, family. It's Beloved in Bakersfield. I was just offering a prayer request for my friend Jacqueline. We've been friends since kindergarten, so I see her like a sister. Her father-in-law has had some complications with his heart surgery, and he had to get transferred to USC emergently because he had coded after a few days in the hospital post the heart surgery. So anyway, prayers for the family, for his healing, prayers just financially for his wife who's needing to stay in Los Angeles. There's also just for my friend Jacqueline, her husband is obviously wanting to stay and support his mom and dad, which is requiring him to lose time from work, and she said it's been putting a strain as far as like his job situation of possibly being let go if he loses too much time from working. So prayers just for God just to provide the financial means necessary, the healing necessary, and just the peace in this whole situation. Their last name is Trujillo, so if you could just remember the Trujillo family and just be covering them in just God's wisdom and peace during this time for them, I would appreciate it.
Hey, DAB family, this is Anna in the trenches. been a long time, but I've been out here listening and praying for y'all. I'm calling because I've entered into a kind of stressful season. It's exciting, but it's stressful. We are buying our own house. When we first bought a house 15 years ago, we bought a house with a group of people, and we were living in community. Over the years, our ministry has shifted from neighborhood and home and providing places for, you know, people in recovery to live and things, to more of the prison ministry at our church. So I'm very excited about my family having a house that's just my family in the house. And so this is a huge answer to prayer, but I'm really stressed out about moving a family of five, including disabled son and, you know, packing and stuff. So if you guys could just pray for my mental health during this time, and this, that I would trust God for all of the loans to come through, and just for people to come help us move and for it to all go smoothly, that would be awesome. I'm also praying for my mom. She has Alzheimer's and is deteriorating kind of horribly. It's just hard to watch. So love you all. Bye.